The thermometer stands at a mere 2 degrees centigrade. The leaden gray sky hints of snow, and so far, the birds are not cooperating with Mr. Getty's attempts to lure them with his calls.
I see why this birding is a challenge, too. A lot of these times, these birds just don't make themselves that obvious.
Suddenly, our luck changes.
There's a ruby crown kinglet about 6 feet from your finger, right here. This tiny little pale olive-colored bird with a ruby crown on top. Oh, there's about four or five of them. These birds weigh about 5 grams. Ooh, here's a palm warbler. This bird that's olivey green on the back with yellow underpart and a little rusty crown. It wags its tail. Just a little one. We have a yellow-bellied sapsucker on the top of this tree. This is a migrant through this area. This bird does not winter here, but they're just beginning to move from their southern wintering grounds in the southeast United States back into this area and up into northern New England. A beautiful bird. It's about twice the size of your fist, and it has a yellow belly, as the name implies. And it gets its name because it makes holes in trees and makes the sap bleed out of the tree. And the sapsucker doesn't eat the sap, but it eats the insects that come to the sap.
How were you able to tell that it was a yellow-bellied sapsucker so quickly? I don't see any yellow on it.
Well, no, you can't see any color at all. But the way it flew in, it has a bounding flight of that of a woodpecker. And just by its general size and shape, sitting in the top of the tree, I could just see enough of it to tell that that's what it is.
What is the draw? Why do people love to watch birds? What do you love about it so much?
Well, for me, I think it's just the spiritual nature of it, for one thing. To think that you have a bird that weighs, 7 or 8 grams, that can actually fly nonstop all the way from Massachusetts here to the north coast of South America nonstop, I think that's fascinating. The various different physical adaptations and behavioral adaptations that they have make them extraordinary to observe. For other folks, it's the hunt. I mean, people like to just be able to find things. There's a lot of analysis that goes on. You need to see a bird, and then you have to go the whole process of problem solving to try to figure out what this bird is. And it's not unusual for someone to see 300 species of birds, if you work at it, in 1 year.
The migratory birds that rest and breed at the Parker River National Wildlife Refuge are identified at a bird banding station run by Bill Getty, where his assistant, Rebecca Schwer, pounds in a post that identifies the fine black thread nets that catch the birds during the spring and autumn months.
And the mission of this bird banding station is to capture birds and analyze them and then to release them unharmed. The data that we collect on these birds, of course, is a species, its age, its sex, any breeding characteristics that we might see, any molt characteristics.
Some of the things we also do take is fat. And again, that's kind of important because, again, these birds are putting on fat as they're migrating. So we can see, how much fat they're putting on. We've had some birds that actually weigh twice as much as they would originally because they're moving that far of a distance.
Think of it as fuel going onto an airplane. They need to take this fuel with them in order to power this long-range migration. And they also need the fat reserves in order to make sure they have some protection and won't starve when they get to their destination.
So we take a bird out of the net, and we put it in the bag, and then we bring it back to the station, and we take it out of the bag in what's called a bander's grip. The bird's head is between your first two fingers, and you're kind of forming a kind of a cage around the rest of its body, so it can't flap its wings.
Then Ms. Schwer, or one of her trained volunteers, identifies and gently weighs the bird.
And then we're going to put a band on it, on its right leg. It's kind of like a 10-digit number that only that bird will ever have. No other bird will ever have that band number. And we'd release them back in the wild. And there they go.
So far, about 10,000 birds have been banded and released at this facility. Many are Baltimore Orioles, like this one. In fact, Rebecca Schwer says that one particular Oriole has become almost a friend.
She winters, probably. Down in Central America, right, Bill? We've caught her 3 years in a row. Pretty much on clockwork, year after year, without a calendar or anything, she comes back to this area almost on the same day. And she nests right down, generally, a couple hundred feet from the banding station on the road in one of the aspen trees. Just amazing, these navigational systems and the timing system that they have.
How do they do it?
They use a lot of different techniques. First of all, it appears as if they have an inbred a DNA map of direction and time in their brains, okay? But then they use a number of different things, celestial navigation. They use physical landmarks to migrate. They appear to use the polarized light in the evening time when the sun goes down to recalibrate their navigation system. But these tiny birds that have a brain, you know, that are smaller than the end of my smallest finger, absolutely amazing. I think it's part of the mystery and wonder as to why people like birds so much.
I learn something new every day. That's kind of what I love about it, too. It's not the same old thing day after day after day. I see things that are interesting out here. Like, we'll get whole flocks of birds that come through. You know, we get whole flocks of yellow rumps, which is a bird that comes through here in masses, or whole flocks of juncos.
As if on cue, a yellow rump warbler appears on a branch nearby. Bill Getty and Rebecca Schwer smile in its direction.
Beautiful male. Yellow on the crown, yellow on the side, and that little check note is his call. Beautiful, he's flaring those yellow sides.
Bill Getty and Rebecca Schwer are staff members at the Massachusetts Audubon Society, which maintains an education center and bird banding station for the Parker River National Wildlife Refuge here on the Massachusetts coast. In addition to songbirds, the refuge also shelters endangered shorebirds, such as the piping plover, varied mammals, and fish. This is Adam Phillips reporting.